spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a lot of good things to talk about today. This is a much-awaited show. First of all, during the first hour, we're going to have Kyle Sevitz from Colorado State University talking about the effects of interval training as it relates to sprinting and then obviously recovering and its effects on overall caloric expenditure. During the second hour, much-awaited interview, where I have Kenneth Krause on, along with Pam Colleen. For those of you who may have forgotten, Kenneth Krause is the guy who was thrust into the mainstream media as a result of an email that he sent to a news anchor person, Jennifer Livingston. You have not had a chance to hear his side of this story. He has avoided the media at all costs, but he has agreed to do our show. This is a Superhuman Radio exclusive. This is a national exclusive. And we're very happy to have him on later. But first, let's get right to the subject at hand. Kyle Sevitz, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Carl?
Fantastic, fantastic. Kyle, you are with Colorado State University, and you guys just completed a study that looked at how interval training affects caloric expenditure, correct?
Very correct, yep.
Talk about the design of the study, first of all.
So with the study, we recruited, it's a small study to start with, so we recruited only a small number and we stuck with just men to keep the number of, you know, possibilities.
Yeah,
variables,
additional variables, right, exactly.
So we got some young men. These are all young, active. They are either graduate students or undergraduate students here at Colorado State University in Colorado. And what we did was first, overall, make sure they're healthy. Some quick tests to make sure we got healthy young men. And we did. Next thing we did, the main meat of the study was to actually bring them to a room down in Denver at the University of Colorado Hospital down in Anschutz. And this room measures all the air that they have breathed out over the course of however long we keep them in there. We kept these guys in there for two straight days. And this allowed, if we were actually able to measure all that, and we can with this machine, we can tell, A, how many calories they burned, B, where those calories came from.
So basically the room became a calorimeter?
Yeah, it is a calorimeter.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
An indirect calorimeter.
Yep.
So it was a comfy room. It was a hospital room. TV, DVD player.
Bed. Now, what are you looking for when you're looking at expended exhaled air? Coming from the lungs, are you looking for specific markers that indicate certain biological functions in the body that translate to burning calories?
Yeah, CO2 and oxygen. That's it.
So the more CO2, the greater the degree of caloric expenditure?
It's got to be matched with oxygen. So when you compare the two at the same time, if you were to burn 100% carbohydrates, you'd have equal amounts of CO2 appearing in the air and an equal amount of oxygen disappearing from the air.
Uh-huh, one-for-one exchange. But if you're burning more fat, what happens?
If you're burning more fat, there is less CO2,
less oxygen?
Less oxygen, more CO2.
Exactly. Okay, good. All right, so what type of exercises did these young guys have to perform as part of this study?
So as part of the study, on one of those days they spent in that room, they were woken up, and we had them do what's been classically described as sprint interval training. And we followed the original model that Martin Gabala from McMaster University up in Ontario developed, which is five 30-second sprints, And these sprints are absolute all out. It's not sprint that maybe your coach told you to do where you have to sprint to the other end of the room and you went hard, but you went the same speed the entire time.
You rated yourself so you could get there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there is none of that in this style and sprinted.
Now, for those of you who have not sprinted, an all out 30-second sprint is a real long push. You keep looking going, God, when is this going to end?
Yep, pretty much. If we watch the amount of power that they do, that they can expend in that time, they have expended all their power in the first 5 seconds.
Okay.
And they are hanging on for dear life.
Now, how long did they walk it off? How long did they have to recover in between these 30-second sprints?
In between each one, we kept it at 4 minutes.
That's a pretty decent amount of time, but I got to believe that around the second or third cycle of this third sprint, that 4 minutes probably didn't seem long enough for most guys.
Oh, no way. Yeah. They were not ready. That first one, you're ready by 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You might not think you are, but 2 minutes later, you probably are ready. Towards the end, because you are going all out every single set, they're not ready.
Now, did you look at any biomarkers? Did you look at heart rate? Did you look at any of the VO2 max, any of those kind of things?
In this particular study, no. Many other studies have tracked a lot of that. In this one, we just care to answer the big question of how many calories are actually expended during sprint interval training.
Okay. I understand that these are young guys, but obviously levels of conditioning would implicate some of these guys being able to sprint a lot faster, a lot harder, call upon energy reserves to a greater degree than the guy who is healthy and in shape, but he's really not athletically inclined. So were these guys really sprinting all out for 30 seconds, or were they just sprinting as hard as they could for 30 seconds?
Well, it's always as hard as they can. You know, it's everybody's 100%. But you are right. A more conditioned guy will be able to put more power into the bicycle. The more power you can put into the bicycle, theoretically, the more calories will be burned.
Okay. So you just exclusively looked at calories burned in this process for the 30 seconds on, four minutes off, five cycles of this.
Correct.
And then did each – was this all done with all of them at the same time? Did you do a small group first and then another group and another group?
It was all individual. If I had anyone else in that room, then my measurements of CO2 and oxygen would be confounded by everybody else's.
Bingo. Okay.
CO2 and oxygen. So it's confinement to that room, one individual at a time, 2 days back to back.
Any of the athletes or subjects have to pull out because of pulled hamstrings or they just couldn't do it? They didn't want to do it?
Nope, I didn't have any injuries going into it. We did make sure we checked heart health, and we had some people initially be ruled out of the study.
Tell me why. What did you see in those that you said, look, this is probably not a good idea for you to do?
I can't tell you exactly, but basically we check every subject going in because we are a research study. We can't have any mistakes.
Right.
The cardiologist had any hesitation about this person going through maximal exercise. We said, hey, this might not be a big deal, but we're not willing to take the risk.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. What about the actual physical footprint of some of these guys? Were they all fairly lean, or were some of them carrying more body fat than you would say an athlete would carry?
Probably a little more than, you know, your typical athlete. And these are not college athletes. These are not, you know, you're training 5-6 days a week. But they are all relatively lean, normal body mass index, normal weight, decent VO2 maxes. You mentioned that earlier. They were all, not at the extreme athletic level, but they all had decent VO2 maxes.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to find out from Kyle Sevitz what the outcome was from these sprint interval training sessions for these guys that may influence the type of cardio that you start doing as you move forward. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Kyle Sevitz from Colorado State University about some research that they did looking at sprint interval training. We talked a lot about this type of training over the years. Kyle, did the subjects just do sprint interval training, or wasn't it two different days that they were evaluated?
Correct. All they did was sprint interval training on one of the days. If we're going to try and make any comparisons of how many calories they burned, we have to compare it to a day where they did nothing. Other day, whether it was first or second, they just sat in that bed and watched TV.
Which is a very difficult thing for the average college student to do.
Probably. Yeah. But hey, at the end of a semester when you are absolutely done with studying, many of them, some nice enjoyable breaks.
Absolutely. Okay, so what did you discover when they went through these five cycles of interval training?
So the difference between day one and day two, sitting down and actual sprinting, was just over 200 calories burned. This is one of the reasons why we do the two-day comparison. As many times people say, oh, well, you know, that calorie counter on the bicycle or treadmill while you're at the gym, it says, oh, you've burned this number of calories.
Nonsense.
You know, Kind of nonsense, yeah, because some of those calories would have been spent had you sat down in the chair sitting next to the treadmill.
Not only that, but those for anybody out there who uses those for anything more than just a personal goal,
yeah,
you know, they're a waste of time. There's no way for a device to estimate how many calories you're burning. Everybody's metabolism is different. Whether or not you're in a fed state or a fasted state plays a role in that. There's so many variables that go into it. That's why guys like Kyle have to lock people in rooms and measure their breath to find out the real answers. So don't take those things seriously for anything more than, hey, I did 200 today, and then the next day I did 250. I'm getting better. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it should
yep.
be.
A nice little marker.
So these 200 calories don't really sound impressive, right? I mean, God,
no.
but they really are when you consider the amount of work that was put in, right?
Yep, the total time. There's the idea of the total time. Total time, not that impressive, like you said. If you were to spend the same 24 minutes, 25 minutes running, you'd probably spend, you know, about the same number of calories. We can estimate, hey, 100 calories a mile. If you run an 8-minute mile, you're looking at still 240 calories in that amount of time. So total calorie cost, not that amazing. However, 4 times 5 of those, you know, 20 of those minutes, my subjects were just barely pedaling their feet.
Yeah, so really the real hard work was done for about 2.5 minutes.
Correct.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Now this research actually concurs something that Dr. Paul Arciero from State University of New York has come on the show and talked about. Paul did some research actually with obese people, and they were required to do only 2 modifications to their day. And that was to do sprint interval training like you're talking about, 30 seconds on and walk until they recovered, with an objective of increasing the number of sprints in a given I think it was a 20-minute period. And they added 60 grams total of whey protein to their daily intake through 2 30-gram whey protein drinks taken at 2 different times a day. And the amount of fat loss was remarkable. And when Paul did some of the research that you're talking about using a calorimeter, he discovered that it affected their whole days worth of calories being burned. And similar to what you discovered as well, but nonetheless, that there was a shift as a result of this one exercise session in the metabolic rate of these individuals over the course of the day. So one could say that, yeah, you may burn, you know, a certain number of calories walking on the treadmill or even running on the treadmill, but through economic efficiency, doing this type of a workout, sprinting for 30 seconds, walking till you recover, is actually a better use of your time. You get more results out of it. You think that's an unfair statement?
Overall, no. My only bone to pick with this is the idea of the metabolic rate shifting.
Okay.
Yes, we measure energy expenditure over the course of the whole day, but like you said before, there are many different factors in that. The food you ate, the actual resting metabolic rate that runs your organs, the calorie cost of staying alive. But in that total daily energy expenditure, what we're trying to say is the calories came from the exercise. It's exercise energy expenditure.
So it wasn't some sort of shift throughout the day. Because there's a lot of discussion about how one of the benefits of resistance exercise is that it actually causes a shift in metabolic rate. It actually bumps the metabolism up for hours after the workout has been completed, which causes a net more calories burned. So you're not saying that about your study at all.
Nope. And it's a fine line between how we're able to tell the difference. And honestly, with my tool, I can't be 100% confident that there was no shift during the course of the day.
Okay.
Because I measured 24-hour values. What I can say is in previous studies, we've done the snapshot value.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many calories does it take to lay in the bed for 45 minutes the morning before you worked out and the morning after, one day later? And we know no metabolic shift happened there. That basal rate, that bottom rate of laying in a bed and remaining alive did not change. So that we know, no huge benefit there.
Okay.
When we looked at and we plotted energy expenditure minute by minute over the course of their 24-hour day, we see a massive raise right during the exercise, and a very close time period afterwards, it came right back down to where the individuals were on their day that they were sitting and doing nothing.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, well, this is good. So the what your goal is to get people to understand that, look, because one of the points that you make, I guess, in the press release for this was that many people start an exercise regimen and don't stick with it for a variety of reasons, but the most popular reason, they don't have the time in the day to exercise, right?
Yep.
But what you're saying is 25 minutes is all it takes.
To at least do something. 25 minutes will get that 200-calorie burn. Roundabout, everyone will be a little bit different. But hey, we can get some calorie burning. And if average Americans only gain a couple of pounds a year, which eventually leads to, the overweight individuals at 40 who are 20 or 40 pounds heavier than they were when they graduated college,
right?
You know, a little bit of calorie burn, even if it's not an amazing amount of calorie burn, hopefully will keep them from progressing that way.
You know, and for those of us who have embraced physical culture, I haven't been able to train for the past 4 days. I feel terrible. I mean, I feel terrible. My sense of well-being is dropped. I feel moody. I don't know why. Well, sure, I know why. It's because I haven't been to the gym in 4 days. Life kind of got in the way this week, so I haven't been able to train. Plus, I have a knee injury, so I'm slowing down my leg training right now. I don't feel good when I don't train. For those people who don't know that feeling, that when you train, you feel good, 25 minutes a day is like a big commitment for them. But yet, those same people will spend 25 minutes a day doing other things, things as innocuous as, you know, just staying up till 10 o'clock watching, or 10:30 actually, watching the 10 o'clock news. You could get to sleep a half hour earlier, get up a half hour earlier, and do this in the morning, 25 minutes, bang, and be done with it.
Our big obstacle of convincing these people that don't find the joy in exercising will be the motivation to actually do this. Now, we discussed at the beginning of the show how intense this is, how all out it is. And it's why one of the things I think would be important is getting the involvement of a personal trainer in this.
Yeah.
Our individuals that do that are self-selecting themselves and saying, hey, I am willing to try something. I am willing to put forth some effort. And then you have that peer support, that coach support that says, we are going to do this. You are going to show up another day this week, and we are going to do it again.
Well, I also want to tell the newly introduced audience out there that's just starting to get this message that many of us have had for a while, and that is you start where you are. You start where you can. In other words, you don't have to do a 30-second all-out sprint. You can do a 10-second all-out sprint and then apply the rules of progression, which are used in resistance training too. You do a 10-second all-out sprint and walk until you feel recovered and do another one. You do that 5 times. And then over the course of maybe a month or two, you start doing 15 seconds. You know, because let's face it, when I was 330 pounds, sprinting for 10 seconds not only was going to be difficult, but there was potential for injury. Because I'm moving a lot of weight on bones that weren't really made to carry that kind of weight. So you need to start where you can. If all you can start doing right now is getting up and walking for 25 minutes with the anticipation that in a few months I'm going to start doing a 10-second sprint and walking for recovery, then start there. You start where you can. You start where you are, but you must start. You have to start. One of the discussions in the second hour, Kyle, is this supposition that, you know, obesity is something about beauty and looks. It has nothing to do with the way you look. It's all about health. And those out there who are obese need to make a decision, because your decision is not just affecting you and your family. It's affecting the country in the way of health care costs and everything. We're going to discuss that in the second half of the show. But you must start. You must take responsibility and start now and start walking. But if you're in decent shape and you just got 10 to 15 pounds over that what you need, then I think starting out for a 10-second, growing to a 15-second, all the way up to a 30-second sprint is a suitable attempt. What do you think, Kyle?
Absolutely. And one of the other things I would suggest in especially the overweight, obese population is do this on a bicycle. Then you get rid of that weight-bearing stress on your joints.
You know, that's a great point, and you don't run the risk of pulling a hamstring, because any of us who've ever sprinted know that if you have some real glute hamstring power and you blast off in a sprint, even the best linebacker will tell you that the hamstrings go really fast when you put that kind of strain on them.
Absolutely.
So that's a great point. Do it on a bicycle. Beautiful.
Yep. And it, as you said, it can be little. If you're already on that bike and you're doing a normal bicycle for half an hour, 45 minutes at the gym, add a sprint.
Yeah.
As you get comfortable, add a few more. They don't have to be exactly designed the way we do them. You're not going to see exactly the same results, but that's okay. Anything, as you said, is a great progression from nothing. And I think people need to start integrating some of this higher intensity, because there are a lot of amazing benefits that we're trying to figure out for this higher intensity.
Well, I'll tell you something else, and we've talked about this, and again, I'm saying this for those who are new to the show. You look at a long distance runner and you look at a sprinter and you tell me which one has a more appealing body style, and you tell me which one looks healthier. Sprinting, it has some similar effects on the body as does resistance training. And so most of us are willing to go to the gym and walk on a treadmill while we watch our favorite news program for a half hour or 45 minutes. Well, guess what? That's doing marginally benefits for you compared to the types of benefits that a periodic sprint will do for you. Sprinting will upregulate bone mineral density and muscle creation on your carcass. I mean, it's not from drugs when you look at these people that are sprinting. They've got beautiful, proud bottoms. They've got big, thick legs. Their shoulders. Guess why? Because when you start sprinting, you don't just sprint with your lower body. You sprint with your entire body. Everything translates down through the spinal column, the spinal erector muscles, into the glutes, the hamstrings, down to the ball of the foot. It starts in the shoulders and in the arms and the neck. So your whole body grows when you sprint. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of it.
Yeah, and while you're watching that show, hey, you don't have to stop watching the show. Wait for the commercial to come. Do your sprint on the commercial.
You know what? That's a huge point. You know what I told my daughter one time? I said, Sid, you can do sit-ups and push-ups during the commercials while you're watching television, and then watching television is not going to be something that makes a person prone to obesity. Just think about that. You've got a built-in interval training session in your favorite TV show. During the commercial break, instead of watching the commercials, drop to the floor. Do something. Move. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up with Kyle Sevitz. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at Iron Mag Labs. Labs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntoBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntoBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntoBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I want to see a peaches, baby. Show me the fruit.
Welcome back. This is Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Kyle Sevitz from Colorado State. So, Kyle, was there anything surprising about this study when the results came out that you scratched your head and said, wow, I didn't expect that?
Well, I did expect. One of the things I thought going into this was we would see the calorie burn extend over a longer period of the day. We were pretty surprised to see very acutely that calorie expenditure went up with the exercise and went right back down. We were hoping we could say something more along the lines of, you know, an extended benefit. Our original research looked at, well, we hoped the metabolic rate period would be adjusted
right
24 hours later. So we're slowly whittling it down to try to see where those calories are truly expended.
Is heart rate an indicator of metabolic rate or no?
Heart rate will go up as calorie expenditure goes up, but it... overall metabolic rate, no.
See, and I think that's where some people get it mixed up between you and I. I think that, you know, when you train intensely, your resting heart rate will go up sometimes as much as 10% throughout the rest of the day for hours along the day. This is also seen as a danger of exercise for people who have problems with heart valves and even mild arrhythmias, because even moderate exercise will elevate sympathetic tone and cause the heart rate to pick up pace and malfunction even to a greater degree. So I'm wondering sometimes when people look at the metabolic changes of intense exercise, are they really looking at the energy expenditure, or are they looking at the things like sympathetic tone and heart rate as indicative of greater degree of energy expenditure?
I think we could take that two ways. One, our endurance athletes, many of them have, you know, after endurance training, long-term chronic endurance training, your heart rate goes down.
Yes.
Your resting heart rate will go down. Goes up acutely after the bout, but will be down below where your resting was prior to the start. Yet one could argue their resting metabolic rate might be different after the exercise. You mentioned this sympathetic tone. Due to training, chronic, long-term training, big bout of exercise, your triathlete, your classic triathlete, his sympathetic tone is increased. He exercised so much that there was spillover into his system. And that's where we see, hey, resting metabolic rate in this person has increased.
Uh-huh.
But these classic triathletes that are exercising twice a day, they're almost never in a non-post exercise. They're either exercise
or immediately
post exercise.
And you know what else? When you look at long distance endurance athletes, okay, many of them develop confounding heart conditions. Lone atrial fibrillation is associated with a lot of marathon runners.
Mm-hmm.
Bradycardia is associated with lots of distance athletes. Lots of distance athletes will develop it, especially while they're training during their heaviest training periods. They'll develop bradycardia where the heart rate becomes dangerously slow. So when we talk about exercise, we have to be cautious to compartmentalize the different types of exercise. These same conditions are not seen in sprinters as they are in these long distance athletes, whether it be cycling or running for long distances. And clearly the heart develops physiological changes that are relative to the type of work that it's being asked to do over and over again. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. I come back to resistance training. If somebody does heavy squats, heavy deadlifts for, you know, 45 minutes, their heart rate will pick up for 6 or 7 hours later throughout the day as a result of that. And it could be the hemodynamic changes that causes, or it could be completely on a nervous system level, but those pick up. So clearly exercise has different effects on the heart in its resting mode. Your thoughts?
I don't know if I can speak to that. I'm not 100%, I don't do much research in the resistance at this point in my graduate career.
Okay.
But many, you know, we know exercise strengthens the heart. We know, unfortunately, there are some side effects with that. We know athletes get that enlarged heart. They do get an enlarged heart because more work is being demanded of it.
Right.
We see the same thing in hypertensive patients.
But there's different. One is a pathology and one is a physiology. There's a big difference. I've studied extensively in this area. And in fact, individuals who have cardiomyopathies can actually benefit from exercise, contrary to what many of their doctors will tell them, because you can actually take pathological changes in the heart and like fibrosis and so on, and turn them into physiological changes, which are beneficial. The larger heart in an athlete is just an upregulation of the infrastructure to make the pump stronger to do the work. But the pathological changes in a heart for somebody who says has chronic hypertension and has this constant back pressure, this is a totally different remodeling of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. There's no doubt about it. What do you want people to take away from your research? What do you hope that this research does for some people out there?
The biggest thing is just to up the intensity in the workouts. Whatever it is, whether this is your excuse to get back into exercising or whether this is your excuse to push it a little harder during the hour that you have already committed to go to the gym. I'm assuming a lot of your listeners are already, they understand the power of and the benefits of exercise. They like to do it. So for many of your listeners, just increase that intensity. There are many beneficial effects that a lot of other researchers have seen. Marty Gabala, Burgomaster, many other people have looked at and said, hey, blood sugar control goes up with sprinting. A lot of the same physiological adaptations that we see in endurance running, we can get the same adaptations in sprinting.
Yes.
Over a 2-week period. So whatever it is, don't cut that, you know, if you got to cut that short because you got to get home, get dinner ready for the kids, quickly do the sprint. Many of my days I'm spent here, sitting in my office, getting work done. I don't get time to go to the gym. And I do feel that emptiness, that little bit of, oh, man, I feel bad about myself. So on my way home on my bike, I find a hill. I go the long way and take a sprint up the hill.
There you go.
Anyway, you can still get
And you know what? You know what, Kyle? I'm willing. You looked at 5 sessions of sprinting. What I would love to see your group do is look at fewer and fewer sessions to see where the point of diminishing returns occurs. I would love to find out if just 2 sprint sessions elicits such a great response to caloric expenditure that people can take two or three, you know, of 10-minute sessions a day and just do it and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling, because of the way that sprinting affects the body, I have a feeling that you could probably get just as much out of one or two sprint sessions a day for those of us who can't even break away for 25 minutes. You may find out that the benefits of just having one or two sprint sessions is well worth it.
Yeah, we'd probably have to spread it over a little longer period in order to see those differences,
mm-hmm.
but that is that's a really awesome question, and we should do that.
Yeah, I would love because I got a feeling you're going to be surprised. It's like, you know what? You burn 200 calories when you do five sprint sessions. You burn 175 calories when you just do two. So those extra three, the effects that you're getting from those extra three is really not economically worth it. You know, just do I hope you do this. I really do. I want you to come back on the show and talk about it if you do.
We're always trying to push the envelope. If we can cut that time shorter, cut the amount of work shorter so that it is more appealing to people, that's the way this research keeps pushing. So if we don't, somebody will steal it from us.
Yep, there you go. Listen, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio today.
Take care, Carl.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Pam Colleen on. And also Kenneth Krause. For those of you who have forgotten who Kenneth Krause is, he's the guy who wrote Jennifer Livingston an email that cast him into the mainstream media as a bully. I'm going to let you make your own decision if you really think he was a bully or was Jennifer Livingston taking this opportunity to help further her career. That's the question I want to put forth. Stay tuned. You'll be right back. We rockin' it, contagious, monkey business, outrageous. Just confess your girl admits that we the shit. F-R-E-S-H, we fresh. E-E-F, that's right, we devil. We definite. B-E-P, we reppin' it. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to mgnstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre- intra and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. This discussion is going to take a direction that some of our newer listeners may not appreciate. I want to promise you that this discussion has to be had. For those of you who are easily insulted, you probably will become insulted by some of the things I'm going to say. But let me couch what I'm about to say and discuss with this for those of you who don't know my story. Up through 1998, I was 330 pounds. This journey that led to the beginning of this radio show has been something that I have stuck to, but more importantly, have talked to other people about getting on board as well. And that is that obesity is not about how you look. It's not about beauty. It's about health. And it's such a big problem today. For those of you out there who find yourself obese, as I did up through 1998, you don't want to be obese. I didn't want to be obese. I wanted to be thin. I wanted to look good in clothes. I wanted to feel good. I didn't want to be emaciated and skinny. I just didn't want to be obese. And quite often, the wrong information is being propagated that's keeping you trapped by your obesity. You can learn a lot of the right things to do by listening to the show, listening to the guests on the show, like my guest this hour, Pam Colleen, author of the book Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And also an interview that we're going to do that we had to do yesterday. Pam, how you doing?
I'm great, Carl. How are you?
Always a pleasure to have you. Kenneth Krause is the gentleman who wrote Jennifer Livingston a series of emails, by the way. They had several emails go back and forth. I know more about this story than I am going to talk about, only because Kenneth Krause is a complete and sincere gentleman. He is not the bully that he's been portrayed as by Jennifer Livingston or the mainstream media. But as I learned this morning after talking to my niece, who is the vice president of a very large ad agency on the West Coast, anything that says bully is big today. If you could talk about bullying, you get picked up by everybody, the mainstream media, Oprah, everybody. And so what Jennifer Livingston did, in my humble opinion, is she bullied Kenneth Krause. He did not bully her. And that is coming from information that I have that if I'm forced to show, I can, that proves that she even cursed at him in emails. He never took an angry tone with her in anything. But anyway, okay. So Pam, here's what I want to do a supposition. This interview, the interview with Kenneth, Jennifer Livingston that was made in all over the mainstream. I'm sure they saw it up in Canada, right?
I just saw one snippet of it, so I can't elaborate on the subject as much as you can, because you say you have the emails. I don't have all the emails.
Okay. But with that being said, you are aware that what she did was Kenneth Krause sent an email to her explaining that he had concerns for her level of obesity and that as a public figure, she is basically in the position of being a mentor to other people out there, and that she needed to consider reaching out and doing things for her weight. In fact, he offered to help her because Kenneth struggled with obesity for many years in his life as well. And so she put this up on the media and she attacked him as a bully and everybody came to her rescue. And I had an opportunity to interview Kenneth Krause. He couldn't be on the show live today because of his job, but I interviewed him yesterday evening. I'm going to play the interview in its entirety, Pam.
Okay.
And I will break here and there where I feel like we need to punctuate with discussion. And then you and I will take the rest of the show on a journey that I don't think anybody sees it going. Let's start off right now with the interview with Kenneth Krause.
Sounds great.
Take one, Kenneth Krause interview. And this is October 23rd at 2:55 studio time. Okay. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's good to be with you.
Ken, What prompted you to write the emails in the first place to Jennifer Livingston?
Well, first let me tell you what it wasn't about. It wasn't about teasing Jennifer for being obese, obviously, because I was an obese kid myself. In fact, I attempted to make that perfectly clear during our original email conversation. I did tell her about my own obesity problem. I offered to advise her and to help her with her situation, and I urged her to accept my message in the spirit with which it was intended. This entire conversation, by the way, occurred on one day. I think it was the last day in September, well before Jennifer made only a portion of that conversation public. So, you know, it wasn't about berating her or shaming her or anything negative at all. She apparently took it that way, which was partly my fault. And I've apologized for that and taken responsibility for that. I should have worded the one part of our conversation that she did publish in a more tactful and sensitive way. I have that ability, and I should have used it. So regardless of Jennifer's intentions, I guess, that much was my fault. But here's what I did intend. I wanted to encourage this local daytime television talk show host, who apparently has an appreciable audience that simply has to include a lot of kids, to take a meaningful, a visible, and an effective stand against obesity. Anybody can talk about the problem and, you know, how it relates to metabolic syndrome, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer, for example, or how it tends to rob kids of infinitely more rewarding lives, in my opinion. But Livingston had and still has an extremely rare platform upon which to truly affect these kids' lives by transforming her physical self right before their very eyes. I mean, can you imagine how powerful that could be on television, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Look. I mean, organizations like Weight Watchers enroll and enlist celebrities, which she is a celebrity on a local level, into the program because they know that if you watch a celebrity go through this process and lose weight and come out healthier and looking greater, you are more likely to try it yourself.
Absolutely, and now she's a national personality, too. And in a world that tends to encourage complacency and at times even victimhood, this local TV personality could show kids that, in fact, it can be done and that they can take responsibility for their obesity and even conquer it. And Jennifer could catalog her experiences along the way, offer her own personal advice for whatever it's worth. And wouldn't that be wonderful to see daytime television used for something good and productive like that?
Well, I harkens back to Oprah, quite frankly. You know, when you say, you know, I mean, Oprah helped a lot of people. There's no doubt about it. And so, yes, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
And if you'll indulge me a second, this is probably a good time to clear something else up.
Please.
This conversation was never about looks. As far as I'm concerned, Jennifer Livingston is not only intelligent and energetic, which is important because that means she can do it. She looks absolutely fine. She's certainly better looking than I am. But that's beside the point. Obesity is about physical and mental health, not cosmetics. And frankly, I was surprised that anyone ever chose to conclude otherwise.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Okay, Pam, I want to have a little discussion here because this is something that you have been a vocal proponent of. And that is that... women are expected to look a certain way today, correct?
That's right. And the way that women are supposed to look, unfortunately, leads women into a lot of dangerous dieting habits, which invariably starves their brain. So, you know, we've been essentially molded into believing that we're supposed to be skinny or thin. But if you look back in the history of art, for example, women were always very curvy and very voluptuous. I'm not suggesting that obesity is okay, but it's this obsession that we have with being too thin and being too skinny. And unfortunately, that drives a lot of the weight loss industry that we see today, which is a multi-billion dollar a year industry.
Right. And back in the 20s when malnutrition was the norm, they were trying to tell women that they needed to be a little thicker and rounder because that was something that women didn't have readily, so they had to achieve it. But I want to talk about something, and I want to differentiate something here for a second. We're not talking about a Rubenesque woman here. We're not talking about men who are just carrying 20 pounds or 30 pounds. We're not talking about being overweight. We're talking about obesity during the show, and there's an important reason to talk about it. Obesity is a huge financial problem for this country.
Mm-hmm.
By the CDC's own estimations, As of 2008, it was costing us just in healthcare alone $147 billion a year. It's estimated in 2012 it will reach $190 billion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The average obese person spends close to $3,500 a year more that on doctor visits and healthcare than the average normal weight person. And I don't even want to get into the whole normal word. Let's just say non-obese person, because this notion of normal weight is also something that gets skewed to speak to your point about this ideal body type and so on. Okay. So let's just say non-obese. Obesity is associated with every single chronic disease that we are fighting against today, from dementia, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, insulin resistance, blah, 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 blah. It all happens to obese people. Now, I had someone say to me the other day, yes, but there are obese people whose markers are fine. Their blood pressure is fine. Their cholesterol is fine. And that may be true. There's also people who smoke cigarettes their entire life and never develop lung cancer. But that's not the norm. That's the exception. You want to speak to any of what I'm saying right now, Pam?
Well, essentially, you know, I think when you look at the World Health Organization's report back in 2003, they did say that it was processed foods that are causing cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and obesity. And there are over 40 health-related problems associated with obesity. So we have a huge crisis on our hands, and you're right, we can't just fall asleep at the wheel and try to think that this is a normal phenomenon that's going on in society. We've seen this obesity crisis getting worse, certainly over the last 30, 40, 50 years. Unfortunately, now today, after that report came out in 2003, investment bankers, when they read that report, panicked, because obviously if we're too sick as a nation to carry full-time jobs, that we're on disability or welfare because we're too tired or too depressed to go to work, I mean, how is a system sustainable for investment bankers? We're headed towards this disaster, of course. This former Surgeon General of the United States has come forward and said, you know, that they can't find healthy men and women to join the army today. They're having a really
yes.
difficult time.
Yeah, I did a show about that. I actually had an army recruiter on telling us the number of people that they just have to send away because they can't bring them into the army because there's no way for these people to perform their duties.
So I think the average person needs to look around and say, how is this going to be sustainable? I was driving my car the other day. I was stopped at a red light, and two people were walking in front of me, and they were both morbidly obese. One of them had a brownie in one hand. The other had a big, what do you call those things from 7-Eleven?
A big gulp.
Slurpee thing?
Yeah, yeah.
A big gulp. So at any rate, they were both carrying these items in each of their hands. And when they walked across in front of me, I said to myself, how is it that the taxes that they would have paid on those foods will be able to pay for all of their health care costs? It's totally unsustainable.
Right.
I've heard recently that in the United States, that health care costs for one person could exceed their yearly income very easily in the not too distant future.
Yes.
This is happening quite
quickly.
Oh,
wait. They're estimating that health care costs in the United States is going to reach 20% of the GDP in just a few, perhaps a couple decades. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. 20% of all of the gross domestic product production and money brought in to this country will go to healthcare costs. When we talk about this, and don't be fooled, folks, when we talk about this sort of stuff, political pundits like to say it's because people are living longer. Bull hockey. If you know what? There have been plenty of 70, 80, or 90-year-old people around since the 1800s. No one's living to 140 and 150. People aren't living longer. The problem is that people are getting sick more frequently. No one's asking the right questions. Why are so many people getting sick?
Well, the expression that we're living longer, Carl, is a way to keep us asleep. It's a way to make us very complacent.
Bingo.
When you remove the variables that killed us 100 years ago that don't kill us today, and then you do some number crunching, you're going to find out that we're really not living that much longer. And even if we were living a few years longer today than 100 years ago, guess what? For billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars, this is what it's taking to get us to live a few years longer. No, I don't think we're really living longer, and I think people need to be very cautious when they hear that statement.
Okay, so now I want to get back to the interview for a second. Clearly, Kenneth Krause had no intentions of being a bully. He had intentions of reaching out and helping somebody. My supposition is that he was bullied. He was bullied by the national media. He was bullied by Jennifer Livingston. He was not insulting in any of his emails. He didn't use inflammatory statements, not even in the email that she used on the air. He didn't call her names. He didn't say anything insulting. All he said was that he thought it was wise for her to think about losing weight, basically. Okay? But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say right now to all the obese people out there who are really probably going to get pissed off at me. Okay? This United States does not have to accommodate you. We don't have to make booths bigger in White Castles, like that guy who sued White Castle, so that he can still fit in the booth and eat his White Castles. Okay? Those of us who buy airfares are paying a greater amount for the overweight population. Hospitals, bus lines, everybody is having to upgrade the infrastructure of their equipment, make their seats bigger. All of these things because of a personal choice. This is a personal choice. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something else that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. I look at obese people no differently than I look at an alcoholic or any other risky behavior out there. Okay? I think that had Kenneth Krause wrote a letter to an anchor person who was coming on the air drunk and doing his or her job, no one would have said a word to him. But because the growing consensus in this country is that obesity is okay, and that's only because there's so many obese people today, that advertising agencies are styling their marketing, TV shows are styling their TV shows to include obese people because there's so many obese people in this country today, that they want to be looked at with special attention. And I say you are no more special than the alcoholic. And I'm going to talk about this in a couple minutes with Pam when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntoBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntoBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntoBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast
boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanogrowth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Pam, I had promised some of the people in the office that I wouldn't rant about this today, because I know that we probably have a lot of people who've never listened to the show before listening, and I didn't want to be misconstrued as a zealot or anything like that, but I find myself ranting about this stuff because it really hits home. I already have my first email from a listener. And for those of you who want to email me, it's onair@superhumanradio.com. How can you compare obesity to how alcoholism? Isn't this a stretch? Okay. What do you think, Pam?
Well, you've already cited some of the numbers in terms of the cost of obesity on society, the healthcare costs. In the United States, addiction, substance abuse, costs the U.S. economy $500 billion every single year. So if we're just looking at the cost factor, I think this is something people really need to, take a strong look at, because I think the media is very good and the government is very good and industry itself is very good at sending out a lot of red herrings out there, a lot of distractions for us to not look at the solutions to this problem. So when you consider the cost and how unsustainable both of these conditions are, whether it's obesity and or substance abuse, and that you hear this debate going on in current day politics, especially in the United States, over private versus public health care, and everybody in the United States is all, you know, what's going to happen with health care, yada, 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 but they're not saying, well, maybe we should be looking at the reason why the healthcare system is as dysfunctional as it is. Why don't we just get people healthy from the get-go, and then we wouldn't have to have this debate over public and private healthcare.
Well, and this is my objective. I hope that I insult some people out there, because I hope that you look at yourself a little differently. I hope that you see that obesity is not some innocuous, oh, it's just something that happens to people, and just that's it. According to George Washington University, we spend $35 billion a year in treating alcohol addiction and the associated costs of alcoholism. Meanwhile, it's estimated that obesity costs us $190 billion this year. So clearly, if dollars dictate attention, then our government needs to be going, you know what? We need to find out why so many people are obese and try to help them. But that's right. Not going to happen.
Right. I just did a radio show in my hometown where they're building another methadone clinic. And I found out after I did the show that they're planning on building three more methadone clinics. And I went to a town hall meeting, and everybody was on the microphone saying, oh, you know, all these people need help, and yes, we need another methadone clinic, just don't put it in my backyard, and anyway, so on and so forth. Only one person got on the microphone and said anything that had anything to do with a solution to the problem. And she got on there and she said, I'm a grandmother. I just watched a documentary about how doctors are over-prescribing opiate drugs. And why don't we consider that there may be a root cause to this problem, and why don't we get to it? Only one person proposed a solution, Carl. Everybody else focused on
yes.
the problem.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
And it's human nature for humans to focus on the problem and not look deep enough to find a solution to the problem.
Now,
and I think that's what you're trying to do,
yes,
obviously, in
but
your show.
But I want, but
what
I want,
we're trying to do, but today.
No, but you know what I really want to do, Pam? I want to piss some obese people off, because I want them to understand that you're no different than an alcoholic. Don't expect the country to make special considerations for you. Look, I'm not going to I'm not going to condone somebody who wants to sue his boss because he's an alcoholic and he wants a drink on the job and his boss won't let him. And I'm not going to condone somebody who wants to sue White Castles because he wants the seats made bigger because he can't fit into them anymore. He has no business being in White Castles. He needs to look at his health problem, not whether or not the seat fits him any longer. And this whole notion that you can't talk about obesity without being a bully, that's a bunch of bull hockey. And I was an obese person, okay?
But to play the devil's advocate, I will tell you that it can be very difficult and very frustrating for people to lose weight.
Yes.
And yes, the solution lies in eating a traditional diet, eating ancestral foods and so on. But once people get to that state and their biochemistry, because that's what I work on, is I work on biochemistry, and once their biochemistry goes awry, even if they're following what you and I would call a perfect diet, it's really difficult for some people to lose weight.
Yes.
And I think that's why she got so upset, is because I'm sure a lot of people out there have tried and failed at so many different systems, whether it's, you know, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, this herbal product, that herbal product, whatever the case may be. And they have tried and failed so many times that when somebody sends an email in with unsolicited advice, their spine goes up. And I can understand
but
that.
But you know what? But that's all well and good, okay, that their spine goes up. But not acknowledging somebody who is obese is a lie. Not, I mean, look, I knew I was obese when I was obese. Nobody had to tell me I was obese. And granted, I didn't like being reminded of it. But the reason I didn't like being reminded of it is because I didn't like being obese. So I can't go to the person who's reminding me of it and say, you know, you need to shut your mouth and don't remind me of this, okay? That's nonsense. That's the same thing as a family who condones an alcoholic and acts like he's not an alcoholic. Oh no, don't tell Uncle John he's an alcoholic. Just act like he's not. And everybody, it's like, really? That's a totally new type of dysfunction. I want to do one thing before we go back to Kenneth Krause's interview. Because Kenneth Krause did not bully anyone, okay? But listen to this. This is from the American Society of Addiction and Medicine. The short definition of addiction. Addiction is a primary chronic disease of the brain. The brain reward system, motivation, memory, and related circuitry. Dysfunction in these circuits leads to characteristic biological, physiological, and social and spiritual manifestations. This is reflected in an individual pathologically pursuing reward and or relief by substance used and other behaviors. This is the same thing an obese person does. Obese people
right.
eat because it makes them feel good. This is no different than drinking booze because it makes you feel good.
Right, and what happens, but when people are addicted to carbohydrates, and as you know, carbohydrates drive insulin drives fat. But what happens in terms of the reward systems in the brain, of course, is one neurotransmitter is usually what is addressed in this issue, and that is dopamine. It's the neurotransmitter that's responsible for energy, drive, motivation, and so on. And so that's one of the neurotransmitters that's targeted in the area of addiction. So it makes people feel good to elevate dopamine. And what controls dopamine and another stress hormone called cortisol is animal fat. Plain and simple. Eating enough animal fat will help stabilize your nervous system as a whole. And that's what happens when people are gravitating, when people's biochemistry, when their nervous system is destabilized, they will want to grab for a lot of carbohydrates potentially, because that's what's going to elevate things like dopamine, but not to a natural level. It's not happening the way it would happen if you were eating enough animal fat in your diet.
And unfortunately, governments tell people, and medical orthodoxy tells people that animal fats are dangerous and bad for you, so it's a double-edged sword. And this is one
right.
of the reasons why obese people, like I was, until I got the message and realized that everything I was being told was a lie, can't help themselves getting thinner. They need, but see, it comes down to personal responsibility. If what you're doing doesn't work, you keep trying, you find something that does work, because remaining obese is going to shorten your life. Remaining obese is also going to cause and cost everyone around you more money because of your personal choice. Just like the alcoholic who doesn't go to a 7-step, 10-step, or try to go get help, you are derelict of your duties of getting help. And I'm standing hard and firm on this. I am.
Yeah.
Because this country cannot sustain the increases in obesity that we're about to see in the next 2 decades.
But when we live in a free market society, Carl, and anything goes out there, you can sell whatever widget you want to sell to people and put marketing attached to it and, you know, basically create a need out of your invention, and people will buy it if your marketing is good enough. So unfortunately, because we live in a free-for-all out there, you know, pure cornucopia of quote-unquote solutions for this obesity crisis, people are extremely confused, and I find that very unfair, but again, we want to live in a free market. So how do we fine-tune things so that people get the correct information? That is, to me, the biggest battle
that we have. But I talk about that on the show all the time, Pam, and it's called critical thinking skills. Look, if you sat in a chair every single day, and every time you got up from that chair, your back hurt, even if someone who you thought was an authority said, no, keep sitting in that chair, you would find a new chair to sit in. If what you're doing doesn't work, you have to do something different. And if everything you have done didn't work, then you need to radically change the way you look at things. It's all part of critical thinking. If the goal
advertising is powerful. I mean, we have an ad running all the time here in Canada demonizing saturated fat in order to sell a synthetic spread. People still every day get that message that animal fats join the dark side.
I agree.
And that's one of the most pervasive lies out there, of course. And I don't know if you know this, but Gary Taubes and Dr. Peter Attia have basically just started a new initiative. Have you heard about that?
No.
Anyway, they have been funded by a billionaire hedge fund manager. A billionaire hedge fund manager has come forward and is funding both of them to do basically research around the benefits of animal fat. So we're going to see, Carl, we're going to see the truth come out eventually, because obviously business people know that the system that we're currently working under
isn't going to work
much
longer.
Hold us. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and play some more of this interview with Kenneth Krause. It's an important discussion. It's really what made me feel that I had to do this show. Let's listen to this.
And frankly, I was surprised that anyone ever chose to conclude otherwise.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? When you and I have this in common, I was 330 pounds at one point in my life. I know that you struggled with your weight as well. And no one who is obese wants to be obese. Many of us just are confused about how to change our outcome, but we desire to lose the weight. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. And like a lot of people, I was fat at the worst possible time in my life when I was a kid. I can't say I didn't have good times as a young person. I certainly did. Sometimes they were too good. But I also missed out on way too much. I denied myself a lot of opportunities to take on a lot of interesting challenges. And not just athletic challenges, as some people might assume. When you're grossly overweight, as I was, for a variety of reasons, you tend to relegate yourself or be relegated by others to second or even third class status. So you miss out on a lot of social and intellectual challenges, too. And in my opinion, that's the second and underlying curse of obesity, I suppose. Some heavy people will swear to God, like you say, that they're happy, living in unadulterated bliss. You know that's not true, I know that's not true, and that's not what the research reveals. So anyway, I finally got fed up. At the end of my sophomore year of high school, I took matters into my own hands. I was ignorant but determined, and I lost 70 pounds in 3 months. When I got back to school late that next August, the kids that I hadn't hung out all summer didn't even recognize me. They thought I was the new kid, which was a lot of fun. But it was nothing like the wonderful changes that would come.
You know, I have to tell you, I had the same exact experience. For me, it was when I graduated eighth grade, I was so grossly obese that I actually looked like a girl with my long hair. And people would refer to me, to my mother, as your daughter. They thought I was, and so, but then when I got out of the neighborhood I was living in and into a neighborhood where I had lots of activities, I started playing handball. And in one summer, all the weight came off, and I was a different person. Now, granted, mentally, I was still that fat kid. I still had a lot of the feelings of being the second-class citizen, as you mentioned before. But I went through that same exact metamorphosis. It was amazing. It really was.
You're to be congratulated. And here's how I did it. Like I said, I was ignorant. I was just a kid. I had no idea how it should be done, and my parents didn't either. They didn't have a higher education. We didn't have the resources. So basically, I just used my common sense. I ate better, I ate less, and I exercised hard. I didn't make any exceptions, and I didn't alter my strategy at any point, no matter how I felt or what other people wanted me to do. No more sugary or starchy foods. I eat lean meats and fish, fruits, and vegetables, period. My family didn't have a lot of money, so I had to eat canned foods full of sodium and other, you know, unfortunate things. But other than that, I guess my instincts weren't all that bad. I ran every morning, starting with a few laps around the track until finally I was able to run a few miles.
Wow.
I lifted weights. I did sit-ups, too. Really basic stuff, though. Nothing very impressive. I made a lot of mistakes in terms of exercise, so I know now. But the plan was good enough to make a big short-term difference. And more importantly, it set a positive tone and engendered habits that have made me a better person ever since. Best of all, though, from that point forward, I knew I could control my physical destiny if I really wanted to. Bad genes, unfortunate epigenetics, hormonal imbalances and resistances, they weren't excuses for me. And they shouldn't be excuses for anyone. They don't have to be. They're very real challenges, don't get me wrong, but challenges that I overcame, that you overcame, in fact, my wife overcame, and everybody, I think, can overcome. But that, of course, wasn't the end of the story. It never is. I began to regain some of that weight when I was in the service. I was in the Army overseas. I never became technically obese again, but I got heavier in college, too.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my condition pretty consistently fluctuated up until a few years ago when I decided to get serious and actually learn a thing or two about food and exercise. So I started doing the research. I learned to cook everything I eat, again, fish, lean meats, reasonably fresh fruits and vegetables, a few genuinely whole grains, period. No cans this time. And now I exercise differently, too. My cardio is high intensity and varied.
Very good.
My resistance training is functional. I'm very eclectic, but I design all of my programs and workouts, and I change everything up every couple of months or so. That's what you have to do, as far as I'm concerned. Best of all, now I can pick up sports anytime. Any kind of sport I want, because I'm in pretty decent overall shape. Yeah,
right.
I'm pushing 50. I'm not as young as I used to be. But I'm also enjoying my life like never before because I've taken personal responsibility for my disadvantages. And now, to a large extent, I'm in control.
Okay, now, you were accused. I want to leave that there. I want to do this, Pam. I want to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to pick up and discuss some of the points that he made. Interestingly enough, he concurs with what you said. Animal proteins and fish. He's getting healthy animal fats as a result of his changed diet. He clearly found the information somehow out there. So clearly it can be found for people who are in search of it. But first you have to question what's not working. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. It's hard to get to the correct information today, though. I think that's the big dilemma.
Well, yes, you're right. And I blame the government for part of that. I'm sorry. But, you know, the government has no business being in our pantry. This notion that there's even a food plate or my pyramid, everyone should question those suggestions when the government is telling you that the majority of your diet should be made up of crops that are heavily subsidized by the government. The government needs you to eat corn. They need you to eat grain. They need you to eat soy so they can get their investment back. But it's not good for you. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up with Pam Colleen and more of the interview that I did yesterday with Kenneth Krause, a real gentleman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Would you go on with
someone like me? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in Whey Natural USA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest on the air today is Pam Colleen, and we are joined by Kenneth Krause by a taped interview that I did with him yesterday. For those of you tuning in late, Kenneth Krause is the guy who sent the email to Jennifer Livingston that allowed her to get on national television and call him a bully. And he wasn't being a bully at all. In fact, my opinion is that Jennifer Livingston was the bully in this situation. When you really look at the details of everything clearly, can't understand why she would do it. Pam, in 1960, we spent, as a nation, $24.8 billion on health care. And today it's estimated to be about $3 trillion. But more importantly, according to Reuters, we are burning $4 billion every year of additional gas over what we used to decades ago. So when we talk about health, when we talk about energy, you know, we talk about clean energy and we, you know, gas, and gas is $4 a gallon. Well, guess what? The heavier you are, the more gas you burn, which led Forbes magazine to do a story on obesity. Number one, saying that A, it is the bigger threat exceeding smoking as a public health enemy today, and it's costing us billions of dollars that are not associated directly with health care as a result of additional expenditure on gasoline, additional expenditure on making things bigger and stronger. They're ripping out wall-mounted toilets in hospitals to put floor-mounted toilets in because the wall-mounted toilets cannot hold the new, quote-unquote, human being. I mean, the cost of healthcare is going to, I mean, the cost of obesity in this country is the single greatest threat to this country, above terrorism, above gas shortages, above bailing out the banks and bailing out the car company. Everything pales in comparison to what obesity is doing to this country. And I'm sorry to be the one to say it.
Well, I tell you, there's some headline news here in Canada this week, and let me just tell you what I'm looking at here. The headline is Ontario doctors call for junk food tax and warning labels. And as you know, Carl, once the cigarette industry had to use both increased taxes and warning labels, smoking decreased dramatically. So that was, these two measures were indeed quite successful. So now we see the Ontario Medical Association, the doctors are calling for higher taxes and graphic warning labels on junk food to combat obesity. And I'm looking at a pizza box, and on the front cover of the pizza box, and I think this is just some sort of prototype, but at any rate, there's the image of a fatty liver and a warning saying excess consumption of this product contributes to obesity and resulting in non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Quite a provocative news article. Of course, the lobbyists are all up in arms over this, and they are going to do everything they can to prevent this from ever happening.
Who cares? You know, when I asked Dr. Hiblin yesterday if, you know, the industry is coming out against his recent study showing that the increase in linoleic acid in our diet is directly linked to obesity because it stimulates, through the arachidonic acid pathway, it stimulates the cannabinoid receptor the same way that pot gives you the munchies. These oils, canola oil, cottonseed oil, grapeseed oil, corn oil, all these popular edible oils, these edible seed oils, soybean oil, they increase hunger. They not only increase hunger, but they shut down the satiety hormone as well. It's like a smart bomb to make you fat.
Well, and that's, it's displacing the foods that should be satisfying your appetite. When you think about saturated fat, just the word alone, saturated, satisfy, satiety. So we should be eating lots of animal fat in our diet. Certainly, as a general rule of thumb, for example, if you're from Europe, if your ancestors were European, you should be getting about 70% of your calories from animal fat. And that's just not happening today. People are lucky if they're getting 10% of their calories from animal fat.
Let me read this, and then we're going to go back to the interview. This is from Merriam-Webster's dictionary for addiction. And I want to analyze it as it compares to food consumption and obesity, especially the foods that seem to make people fat, which are the ones that the governments promote. Compulsive need for and use of habit-forming substances. Well, they're saying heroin, nicotine, or alcohol, but I'm also saying, according to Dr. Hiblin, linoleic acid. According to your research, carbohydrate consumption interacts with the opioid receptors and gives you the same feeling of opium. Foods have drug-like effects. Would you agree with that statement, Pam?
Absolutely. That's, you know, there's lots of research to show that now, and you don't even need the research. You just ask people after they eat sugar, for example, they feel differently. They
Yes.
feel a buzz generally. I mean, when I'm working with somebody's biochemistry and I see how weak their adrenal glands are, and I look at it biochemically, that translates to the sodium and the potassium. I can see that through their lowered sodium and potassium levels. And when they're gravitating to sugar or carbohydrates as a general rule, what they're trying to do is actually push up the sodium and potassium so they get a little bit of energy for a little while. Unfortunately, it creates an addictive vicious cycle because they have to keep going back to the addiction in order to have even a semblance of having any energy.
Okay. Now, let's go to the rest of the definition. Characterized by a tolerance and by well-defined physiological symptoms upon withdrawal. Now, think about this. You do develop a tolerance to these foods. You need more and more. And such, you get fatter and fatter. You become insulin resistant. So here, you do develop a tolerance to these things. And when you try to get someone to diet, they're ready to go crazy. They crave those foods. The brain is rewired to want those foods.
Did you ever read the book Sugar Blues by Bill Duffy? I don't know if you remember a section in that book where he talks about how he, after he realized sugar was such a terrible substance, he got rid of sugar in his apartment, and he cleared out all of his cupboards that had anything with sugar in it. And he describes very vividly how he went through withdrawal for several days just after he cut out that substance from his diet, just that substance alone.
Yeah, and I learned that from T.S. Wiley's book Lights Out, the linkage between sleep and sugar. So clearly, these things have a drug-like effect. There's no doubt about it. Okay, and then lastly, persistent compulsive use of a substance known by the user to be harmful. Now think about it. I don't care who you are out there. I'm going to talk about me. Okay, when I was obese, I knew I didn't want to be obese. I knew that I was getting sick too. I kept saying to myself, I'll deal with this sometime, but I can't now. I got the kids in school. I'll deal with this someday, but I can't right now because my business is consuming all my time. I'll deal with this someday, but I can't right now because my marriage is in trouble. I'll deal with this. And someday, like that song, someday never comes and you become obese. You know that what you're doing. Let me tell you, let me give you a mea culpa. I would be on my way home to eat dinner. And I would drive through the Wendy's drive-thru, and I would get three double stacks on one bun, a Biggie Fries, and get a load of this, a Diet Mr. Pibb. And I would eat that on the way home. Then I'd go home and have dinner within an hour of that meal. I wouldn't tell my wife then, my then wife, oh, I ate already. I would go ahead and eat the meal that she prepared. When I ate things, I would push the boxes to the bottom of the garbage can in case somebody looked in the garbage can. They wouldn't say, oh, man, Dad ate the last two Hot Pockets. So,
you know, but there's another phenomenon going on, though, where, you know, you can eat crow, Carl. You have the open-mindedness to say, you know what, I was wrong in the way I was eating, I'm going to change. There's a phenomenon in psychology called cognitive dissonance.
Oh, I know exactly.
And a lot of people just, they're too proud. They're not going to admit that they've made bad decisions.
And this is where my frustration comes in, where obese people want special treatment. You are not getting special treatment. You have a problem, just like an alcoholic. And when you start seeing it that way, then maybe you'll be more serious about what you do. Because you're not, because in my humble opinion, obese people are uniting so that they don't have to do anything about their obesity.
But there is a whole element where addiction, I mean, I work with people who have addictions of all kinds, and by the time they do come to me, they're ready to get better. But I mean, the field of addiction, if you look at how complex addiction is, there are a lot of people who have various types of addictions, and they have no clue. They have no idea that they have an addiction. So there's that one element about addiction where I have some empathy for that characteristic, because it is a very common characteristic in the field of addiction. They just have no clue, Carl.
Yeah. You know what
I know what you're saying. It's an obvious issue. If you look at somebody who's obese, you can see it. But if somebody is addicted to a drug, you can't really see it. It's not as visible. But the same level of just not being aware of how serious their addiction is, that's with everybody. That's a very common characteristic in addiction.
And that's why I'm doing this show, because I want obese people to start thinking of themselves the same way they would think about the drug abuser or the alcohol abuser or anyone else who lives a risky behavior. If you're an obese person and you start saying to yourself, hey, I'm not like an alcoholic, then I just woke you up, because you are. And if you look down at alcoholics and you look down at drug users because of their inability to get their drug abuse or their alcohol abuse under control, then start looking down at yourself. When you start thinking of yourself that way, then maybe you'll realize the severity of the problem. So then I've achieved what I'm trying to achieve with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I agree with you.
It's a tough situation for society as a whole when we're trying to come up with solutions for this problem. First of all, we have the misinformation out there. We have the cognitive dissonance as an issue. You know, we have also that obesity is not black and white, so that for many, many people, Carl, and you've had Gary on your show, so you know that for a lot of people, exercise, the way Kenneth described it, is going to backfire on a lot of people because of cortisol in the body, right? And sleep is an issue. The gallbladder, and whether or not the gallbladder is working properly. All of these things play a part in
addiction, or in obesity. But you know what, Pam? You're right. All those things play a role. But when the obese person starts to look at this like it's really a problem that they need to deal with, over time, it's an organic process. I learned about sleep at one phase. I learned about a nutrition at one phase. I learned about the kind of exercise that was complementary to my goals at one phase. You're right. But the journey starts with the first step, acknowledging that they have to. This is a drop dead statement. You have to do something about it. And if you don't see the value in doing something about it for yourself, then look at what you're doing to the country.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you're doing to the country. Okay, look, I want to play some more of Kenneth's interview, because this is where it gets important. I asked Kenneth, I believe at this point, if I thought he was bullying. Hey, let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Wrong button. I'm not the best producer.
Extent, I'm in control.
Okay, now, you were accused of bullying Jennifer Livingston. And I've already voiced my opinion about this situation to my audience in the past. How do you see that whole thing?
I think it's disingenuous to hurl buzzwords at people without first defining them. I suppose there might be a number of ways to define bullying, but any workable definition, I would think, has to include at least two elements. One, the accused person has to intend to force this supposed victim to do something, and two, he or she has to possess some kind of real leverage to make it happen. I guess the quintessential example would be, think of the school playground, for example, where the big kid says to the little kid, hey, your lunch money or else. That's bullying. Both elements
right.
are clearly implied.
Right.
So I guess the question is, how would that definition apply here? First, did I intend to force Jennifer to take better care of herself? Now, you and I know very well, as anyone does who's ever developed a serious diet or exercise program, that no one can force you to do it. You have to want to do it for yourself and perhaps for your family, too. You have to want to transform your lifestyle. The only things that other people can add to the equation are information and encouragement, and that's exactly what I intended. Again, I think Livingston could do a truly wonderful thing with the position she currently holds, and I would still be happy to this day to advise or coach or encourage her to the very best of my ability. This was never supposed to be about me. It was never supposed to be about her. It was supposed to be about making a difference for others in our community. Okay, second, did I possess any kind of leverage over Jennifer whatsoever? Clearly not. For one thing, I had no interest in trying to embarrass her in public. I sent these emails to her and only to her. For another, I am in no position of power over her personally. I have no interest in, let alone control over, the local media, the national daytime media, or any internet database. And finally, I guess if I did have some sort of coercive leverage over Jennifer's actions or habits, I wouldn't use it, Carl. Personal responsibility, in my opinion, implies the freedom to make your own choices, and that's what you have to do.
Now, it's important to understand that, and I want to reiterate this, and for those of you who may have lost track of this, that when Kenneth Krause reached out, he didn't attack, he reached out to Jennifer Livingston to both offer her support and some encouragement. And I see this, the word bullying was actually you encouraging her to take responsibility for her obesity. I never ever saw, even, okay, the one email that I did see on the air, Ken,
yeah.
I could never have classified that as threatening, inflammatory. There was no name calling. There was no bullying undertone. You were not trying to be insulting. I that's why when I saw that email, I became, you know, somewhat shocked by the overtone of bullying. But you reached out to her in a genuine desire, like of someone passing someone on the road and you see they're stuck, they don't have a cell phone, you pull over, you want to help. You were trying to help her.
Yeah, like I said, I have taken responsibility for the wording of that first email, and I think that's appropriate because I could have done better. Otherwise, yeah, I don't think the conversation, the entire conversation, if you take all of it instead of just the part that she decided to publish, clearly I wanted to do something good for the community, and I want to do something good for Jennifer, too. She doesn't see it that way.
Now, I've gone on the record on my show, and my audience supports what I'm about to say, and I am not putting words in your mouth, but I want you to answer this question. Do you feel that it was you who was actually bullied? Given the fact of what the description of bullying is that you just gave, I feel even more so now that you were bullied by Jennifer Livingston.
Well, a lot of people have told me that, and you're certainly free to look at the facts and apply, my definition of bullying or one of your own if you want to. But in the end, I honestly only have one simple answer to that question. I don't see myself as being anyone's victim. I've taken responsibility for my mistake, and that's all I can do. Otherwise, I stand by everything else I've tried to say.
Has your life changed as a result of this? I want to come back to that. I want to just chat a little bit before we take a break, Pam. I want to, Stephen Lay, who is one of the team members here at Supreme Radio, just emailed me. He says, bullying may be defined as the activity of repeated aggressive behavior intended to hurt another person. physically or mentally. Bullying is characterized by an individual behaving in a certain way to gain power over another person. When I read that, it crystallizes for me that it was Jennifer Livingston who was the bully here. In fact, her Facebook page now has a backdrop of the word bullying, someone erasing the word bullying. Jennifer Livingston went on national TV and released Kenneth Krause's name to the media and positioned him as a bully to gain power over him. But I think something more sinister, and I'm going to say it. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. I think she did it for personal gain. I think that she knew that if she did this and couched it as bullying and spun this, maybe somebody advised her. Maybe when she started talking to some coworkers, they said, you know, you could really make a big deal about this. You'll get on national news. Because from what I understand, she's actually getting ready to profit from this approach, perhaps with some other opportunities that she's going to get. But she bullied him. She went on repeatedly and talked about this and said he bullied her. He didn't bully her. It was in private, first of all, the emails that he said. He wasn't trying to get power over her. She was trying to get power over him.
Well, like I said earlier, I said we can focus on the problem, Carl, or we can focus on the solution.
Well, no, I know that. And I know that you don't want to be part of that rhetoric, but I can't sit silently about it. I'm sorry. Okay, look, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will take the conversation to a more productive level with Pam Colleen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And when the book talks about addiction, we're not just talking about drugs, folks. Pam covers a lot of information about food addiction that can help you break the chains of obesity. Go to Amazon.com and get your copy of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic today. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars,
Triforce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Well, Pam, I guess Kenneth Krause is listening to the show live, and he just sent me an email that I'm going to republish in my blog today. And he points something out. He says, I would have bought this addiction plus environmental influences equals absence of free will argument a long time ago, except we know that human beings are capable of reflection and self-analysis. At the real-world level, free will, in fact, does exist. Perhaps the problem, rather, is twofold. And he gives his opinion on what the problem is. I'm going to post that in my blog later. But what about that? I mean, doesn't that speak to what we're talking about getting the right information?
Well, and we're not going to get the correct information because lobbyists are not going to allow us to get this correct information.
Yeah, but no. But we're giving. Look, you come on my show all the time. You do a show in Canada.
No, but you're talking about a very select group of people that will step outside of the box. The vast majority of the people believe the government, believe the media, believe the commercials, believe all these health claims. And that's what we have to get through to. That's what we have to work on. And this is a long, hard journey. It's a David and Goliath battle.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the trouble. I mean, I don't know if you've seen, I wanted to just mention one documentary, perhaps another, but one documentary called Killer at Large. And I want to talk about this with regards to the red herrings that are out there that distract us from looking at solutions, real tangible solutions for this problem. And in this documentary, it shows very clearly that the government is trying to use the word exercise, that we're not getting enough exercise, and somehow it's this exercise component that is contributing to this obesity crisis. And the reason why they are doing that is because the lobbyists for the food industry will not let them blame the food, all these processed foods out there.
Yeah, so, but you know what? And that's why those of us who are in the know, we suspect anything that comes from the government as a directive or a mandate. In any area of life, the truth is, and especially as it relates to nutrition, I can see what you're saying, because most people don't want to exercise. The guy I had on during the first hour of my show, Kyle Savitz from Colorado State, they're showing that you just need 25 minutes of exercise a day to have a major impact on obesity. And the reason he did this study is because most people don't want to exercise. So you're right. By pointing at exercise, that makes a very, very convenient situation for the food industry. They can say, no, it's not the food. It's because you won't exercise, because most people won't exercise.
Right. And if she's going to start some sort of anti-bullying foundation and so on and so forth, that's great. But why are we seeing such a bad epidemic in the first place? Why are we seeing so many people struggling with their moods? And of course, she's not going to look at it like that. She's not going to understand brain starvation and how, humans are supposed to be in a good mood. We're supposed to be cooperative. We're supposed to get along. Obviously, Kenneth didn't have any malintention when he wrote her. He was only hoping to help her. And that's community, folks. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But unfortunately, we're seeing so much conflict out there today and so much focus on the problem that we lose sight of the fact that there are some real solutions for every one of the things I just mentioned, whether it's being in a bad mood, whether it's bullying, whether it's addiction, whether it's obesity. And I think your point is very clear, Carl, that unfortunately today we are normalizing so much dysfunction in society. We are normalizing everything from colic to PMS to almost, normalizing obesity, as you mentioned earlier. So we're just seeing so much normalization of behaviors and patterns that are going to unfortunately destroy us in the end.
Well, we're coming towards the end of the interview. There's more of the interview that I did with Kenneth Krause. I will put it up on my blog so that people can listen to the interview in its entirety. I ask him how this has changed his life, and he gives some final summary ideas of what happened here. I want people to I want to wrap up with something here. I want to kind of put a little gloom and doom on this situation for a second. Obese parents raise obese children. They can't help it. Your kids aren't going to do what you say. They're going to do what you do.
Childhood obesity is rampantly high. We have children that are just turning 10 and insulin resistant. What you are seeing here is a new type of selection pressure. In the past, we've had famines, we've had ice ages, we've had scarcity, we've had to deal with these things that thinned the herd. Today, what's thinning the herd is the lack of real information about the nutrition, okay? It's thinning the herd. You have children today. Many of you who may be listening to the show who are obese know what I'm talking about. You probably have a child that's a little heavy, like I was when I was a kid. Well, let me tell you something. They're developing colon cancer. They're developing diabetes. Their reproductive rates are dropping, rightfully so, because the body is perfect. The body knows that if it's a child is sick, it will not be able to raise offspring. So it shuts down reproduction. These children will be infertile. These children will not have children. And your contribution to the gene pool will end. 100 years from now, there will be entire lineages missing from the map. And it all comes down to the information that you are buying today. If you're buying the information that Dr. Oz is telling you that eating sugar beets are good and all that sort of stuff, then you are going to be obese and you're going to raise obese children and your genes will be wiped off the face of the earth someday. This is just another form of selection pressure. It's not as blatant. It's not as in your face as a famine or an ice age, but it is no less real. You want to comment about that statement, Pam?
I completely agree with you. It is about the thinning of the masses. I mean, we really see that it right now it's about the survival of the fittest. For the people who know to question how things are running right now, those are the people who are going to survive. Those are the people who, you know, are going to survive and thrive through this chaos that we're being confronted with today. We have to pressure politicians. I have a local politician that I'm working with right now who understands what you and I understand. One politician in my neck of the woods who's trying to say to me, Pam, I see what you're trying to do and I want to help you. He came to me and said, I read your book. I understand this dilemma. Let me see what I can do to get this nutritional advice in the prison system, in addiction centers, et cetera, et cetera. It's just amazing that there's only one person I have as an ally at that level of politics. So, you know, I don't know how we're going to get through to the president. I don't know how we're going to get through to the CEOs of corporations. I don't know how we're going to get this job done, Carl, but I think that the reason why I do what I do is I work at a grassroots level to educate one person at a time, because I just see so much blockage from above. I just know the power of the lobbyists. You and I talked, you ended up interviewing Jack Abramoff, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, did you ask him the question, who is the government really working for, industry or the people?
Oh, industry, of course.
Of course. So, you know, it's got to happen one person at a time. And that's what Kenneth was trying to do. He was trying to work with her to help her. And,
yes.
And then she could act as a mentor for others. Unfortunately, she's focusing on the problem. A lot of this conversation we've had today, we tried to focus on the solution, and we have done that. But I would really encourage your listeners to start looking at the solution. We're going to get so distracted with the problem, with the arguments, with the issue of bullying that we're going to be distracted and lost.
Yes,
and
look, but dealing with the problem takes a larger concerted effort. It requires time. It requires attention. It requires consistency. Elisa Profumo, my co-host on Casual Friday, texted me and said, you sound angry. I am angry. You know why I'm angry? Because for those of you tuning into this show for the very first time, every single day, Monday through Friday, I come in here and I try to expose people to the truth about nutrition and health and longevity, and also rail against the things that are working against us. Organizations like the FDA, the USDA, the AMA, all these organizations who don't want you, they don't want you to know the truth because they need to keep industry satisfied. So if I sound angry, I'm sorry, but I am angry because you have one life to live. I don't care if you're Buddhist, Catholic, you think you're coming back as a chicken next time around or whatever. You have this one life right now to get right, to raise your kids, and to make the best life that you can. And you're being fed misinformation that's making you sick and keeping you unhealthy. And that should make you mad as well. So, anyway, I think we have to end it right now. I have a feeling that we may have lost Pam Colleen. Did I lose you, Pam? And that's what I was afraid of. Okay. Well, we were ending the interview anyway. I want to thank Pam Colleen for coming on and talking about this. You can listen to the rest of Kenneth Krause's interview with me on my blog, along with his email that he sent while listening to this. And it makes some very, very good points. You can learn more about Pam Colleen by buying her book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. It's at Amazon.com and where finer books are sold. And we'll be back tomorrow with a very important show. Tomorrow is Thursday, right? So tomorrow we're doing the Subversity Science Roundup. And that is where Adele Moussa, the brilliant Adele Moussa, comes on the show from Munster, Germany, and applies the Subversity sniff test to all of the science in the mainstream media today to see if it really is true or not, the things that we're being told. This is the first step in getting the right information, listening to a show like the Subversity Science Roundup. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.